Welcome, welcome, and welcome, everybody, to the program. It's another day. It's another week finished. Yes, and this is, of course, the Rob Zicari Show. February 6th. No, 5th. I don't think I've ever gotten the days right. February 5th. 2016. All right, where do we begin? A lot to get to. I guess we should discuss the Dem debate. Guess we should discuss the Dem debate. Ay, ay, ay. I know, I oh, man. Hey. It's hard on the ears. It really is. It's hard on the ears. You know, you've heard for a couple days people criticizing Hillary Clinton's voice. Bob Woodward came out and said it's grating. I think that was the term that it was grating. Her screaming, just screaming. It was just And of course you get people to say, "Oh well, you're being sexist. You're just saying that because she's a woman. It's wrong of you to make fun of her voice and criticize the way she sounds." Listen, she sounds annoying. She screams when she's delivering a speech. But Bernie Sanders is equally as annoying. I've said that from day one. I don't think, at least as far as I'm concerned, it's not a woman thing. I don't find it a woman thing to say, "Wow, Hillary Clinton's voice is annoying. The way she delivers her speeches is annoying." No different than Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio does the same thing. They don't know how to properly deliver a speech where it doesn't sound like they're screaming at you. As they're building to a crescendo, as they're building to a punchline, I guess you could call it. "We got to do this. We got to do this because I'm going to make America great." They think you got to stay like that. Rubio does the same exact thing and people criticize him. So it's not a woman thing to me. An annoying thing. And Bernie Sanders is equal. Listen, I've said this I don't even know how many times. You close your eyes and imagine Jackie Mason. Do any of you remember Jackie Mason?
What are you talking about?
I mean, Bernie Sanders is Jackie Mason. He's Ben Stiller. He is George Costanza's father.
"George, what are you talking about?"
Why is the Larry David impression classic? Why did it make headlines? Because it is spot on. So that debate last night, it was just beyond annoying. And because Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow were so bad as moderators, it was even more annoying. Because nobody reined these lunatics in. Nobody reined these monsters in. Oh, man. And I love the cover. This is the cover. You ready? This is the cover. When it went to MSNBC, you know, with Matthews and CNN, the cover was, you know, they just let them go. It was so organic. And there's Chuck Todd and Rachel going, you know, we planned this debate to let them go. You know, our questions, you know, when we worked on, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at Chuck Todd. It's like, give me a break, bro. You guys lost control, and you're trying to cover. You're trying to turn something that was crap into something positive. You know, me and Rachel were planning, how can we make this debate about them? How can we just set up a question? And get out of here. You didn't get to immigration. You didn't get to domestic terrorism. I mean, there's so many things they didn't get to because they spent an hour, literally an hour, arguing over banks. They spent an hour arguing over banks and who's more progressive. Who's more progressive? You know, the Republicans get criticized all the time, because they try to out-conserve each other. I'm more conservative than you. No, I'm more conservative. I'm severely conservative. And people mock them. That's severely conservative. Well, the liberals out-progress each other. I'm progressive. No, you're not progressive. I'm progressive. No, you're not. I am. I want to give free stuff to everybody. I want to take over the financial institution. I want complete control by the government. Oh, really? Listening to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders go back and forth about progressive credentials. Oh, well, if I'm not progressive, then President Obama's not progressive and Joe Biden's not progressive. And, Well, I'm conservative. No, you're not. Yes, I am. Mark Levin says I'm the most conservative. Oh, yeah. Well, Rush Limbaugh says I'm the most conservative. I want no gun laws. I want the death penalty for stealing candy. Yeah, I'm more conservative. Both sides do the exact same thing. Now, of course, nobody will criticize the Democrats. Why? Because state-run media is controlled by Democrats. So they don't see anything wrong with people arguing over giving you free stuff. Because, hey, a little free stuff doesn't hurt anybody. Building a border wall and protecting American jobs, that's no good. But free stuff? Come on. Everybody loves free stuff. Can't argue with free stuff. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to argue free stuff. So that's what they did. And the cover was Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow planned. They planned to have no control. They planned that. They knew exactly what they were doing. BS. Sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow are talk show hosts. They are liberal talk show hosts. That's it. And Rachel Maddow, before being a talk show host, was a radio host. She did exactly what I did. Or do. Am I saying did? Still doing it. She sat there and talked for 3 hours. I mean, I hate to say it. I'm not a big fan of Megyn Kelly, but Megyn Kelly moderates. I don't know. 10 times better than Rachel Maddow. And Sleepy Eyes, Chuck Todd. And just a side note, and of course, this might be controversial, but I get the whole lesbian thing, but do you have to wear the same clothing every day? Seriously, every single day. It's like Rachel Maddow wears the same wardrobe. I get it. You're a lesbian. You got to cut the hair so it looks like a guy. Yeah, you got to look like a guy. I get it. But even a guy, even a dude has different suits. Even a guy has a different look. I mean, come on. What's with Rachel Maddow? The same look. Okay? The same look. Come on already. Black suit jacket. Black suit pants. Black shirt. Same look. It's annoying. It's annoying. I'm just saying. If that's controversial, I'm sorry. If that's edgy, I'm sorry. I don't think it's edgy. I think it's an observation. Remember what Whoopi Goldberg said. It's not criticism. It's not mocking. It's an observation. That's what it is. So, of course, this Dem debate starts out talking about banks. Banks and who's more progressive. Banks and who's more progressive. And then there was this moment. And the funny thing is, obviously, well, I guess obviously, if you're naive, you're not going to say obviously, but as far as I'm concerned, obviously, they created a question, Chuck Todd, Sleepy Eyes, and Rachel Maddow, and attached it to a quote-unquote voter. They did. They attached it to a quote-unquote voter. That way, with the hubbub and, of course, fallout from the Hillary Clinton camp, Sleepy Eyes and Rachel could say, hey, that's what a voter, that's what a New Hampshirean sent in. So Sleepy Eyes, as they're talking about the bank fees, or I should say,
I guess I said it correctly. The fees that Hillary Clinton got for delivering speeches from Goldman Sachs.
Remember, we talked about it the other day when she was in the town hall Borefest with Anderson Cooper. In between singing show tunes, hanging out at the bar, closing time, Anderson brought up the $650,000 that Hillary got from Goldman Sachs. And he asked her, well, why so much? She said, because that's what they paid me. Why so much? That's what they paid me. Make like $10 million a year, Anderson. Why so much? Why so much? Opposed to what? So that came up. That came up. But then it went a little further, and Sleepy Eyes busted out this question from a voter that basically said, would you release the transcripts from the speeches you made? Would you release the transcripts from the speeches you made with Goldman Sachs and other places that you were paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for? And I thought to myself, that's kind of a weird question. Transcripts of speech. And it definitely caught Hillary Clinton off guard. That's why I say it was set up as a question from a voter. Because if Sleepy Eyes or Rachel busted out that question as a follow-up, they would never, ever be getting an interview with Hillary Clinton again. And should she become president, Sleepy Eyes and Rachel will never, ever get an interview with the president or have a smooth sailing life as far as maybe a little IRS investigation. Who knows? So it turned into a voter, because ultimately, and we'll see where Bernie Sanders takes this or the rest of the media takes this. It depends, because remember, we're talking about state-run media, but state-run media has definitely drawn up sides. State-run media as a whole is in the bag for Democrats. That's 100%. There's no debate about that. But you do have a certain amount that are for Hillary, and a certain amount that are for Bernie. So depending on who's for who, stories will get written bashing the other. Even though it's a run media outlet.
As long as they're backing one of them, it's all good. So we'll see if anybody picks up on the Hillary Clinton answer, because she was taken aback. She was like, kind of mumbled, and then said, "I'll look into that." I'll look into that," she said. "I'll look into releasing the transcripts." And then she pivoted from that question from the voter and basically said, "Listen, my record speaks for itself. I've never changed a vote, or I've never done anything because somebody gave me money." So she just kind of filibustered the releasing of the transcripts. And then they went into more talk about getting money for or from banks. Wow. Again. Ay. Just kept going. And like I said, people are trying to say it was a Lincoln Douglas style debate because Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow did a great job of just letting them go and letting them talk. No, they didn't. They lost control. At some point, you have to say, all right, let's move on. We've beaten the whole bank discussion to death. We've beaten this entire narrative of who's more progressive to death. It's silly. I'm telling you, when you listen to Democrats, when you listen to Debbie Wasserman Schultz say, well, our candidates discuss issues. The Republicans just spend 2 hours insulting each other. Okay, but what issues? What's an issue? Who's more progressive? How is that an issue? Who has more of a liberal agenda to pass? I mean, how is that discussing issues? I don't get that. Having Hillary Clinton rattle off, presidents and ex-presidents and senators as being progressive and not progressive and who would fit the Bernie standard of being, acceptable. How is that discussing issues? How is that discussing issues? I don't get that. I don't understand that. Again, I find it insane. I find the things that Democrats say insane. It's insane. When Bernie Sanders bases, when you listen to the Dems, you listen to your Daily Beasts and your Voxes and basically your NBC, ABC, state-run media chiefs. When you listen to these people tell you that Donald Trump And the things he wants to do are pipe dreams. They're never going to happen. You can't deport 11 million illegals. You can't build a wall. You can't put a halt to Syrian refugees and other individuals coming from hostile Islamic countries. All of these things that they say, oh, this is just pie in the sky. It's never gonna. But yet, when Bernie Sanders says we're gonna have free college for everyone, free health care to everyone, we're gonna go after Wall Street, we're going to go after the banks, and we're going to do all of this because we're going to create a political revolution. And everybody in state-run media goes, yeah, that's logical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, deporting illegals, completely illogical. Now, that's a pipe dream. That'll never happen. Taking over banks, taking over Wall Street, free college, free healthcare. That will all get done because somehow there's going to be a revolution. Like, this is the colonial days. We're going to, what, throw stock bonds in the wall? Like, what are we going to do? Like, the Boston Tea Party? Like, seriously. It's insane. I mean, it's just insane. It's absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. The things Bernie Sanders says are really crazy. They really are. What does that say about a certain population of the... You know, again, you have state-run media telling whoever it can tell via the World Wide Web or television or whatever that people that support Trump or some of the other Republicans are racist, they're homophobes, they're delusional. As Saturday Night Live Weekend Update calls them window lickers. Basically, it was a code name for being retarded. Imagine liberals calling people retards. Go figure. And I say that because remember, they're politically correct. You're not allowed to do or say anything like that. But anyways. I digress. Somehow, all these Americans that support the concepts of securing our borders and securing our schools and, you know, protecting this country, gun rights, things of that nature, those people are crazy. Those people are delusional. Those people are nuts. But yet, the millions of people that support the concept of free everything and government takeovers they somehow are playing with a full deck. They somehow are so much more adjusted and educated and have a firm grasp on reality. Imagine that. So somebody that goes, hey, that person's in this country illegally. They should not be here. Person is condemned. But somehow the person that goes, yes, we should have everything for free. And the government should control the banks. And the government should control the financial institutions that make this country work. The government should hand out money evenly across the spectrum. Somehow those people are normal. Because let's face it, that's basically what Bernie Sanders is saying. You know, when somebody calls Donald Trump a Nazi and says his ideas are Hitler-esque, well, let's be clear. The ideas that Bernie Sanders is floating to Soviet Union, they amount to Cuba. They amount to countries that are controlled by dictators. Plain and simple. How no one sees that, or I shouldn't say no one. I shouldn't say that. People see it. We just don't know about it because state-run media makes sure that narrative is not put out there. But I've said this before, when Bernie Sanders attacks Wall Street or attacks the banks and says they're corrupt, they need to be stopped, what do you think that means? What do you think that means? And just think about what that means. All the banks are corrupt. Wall Street's corrupt. They have to be fundamentally changed. You know, President Obama, for the last 7 years, touts the stock market being so strong as a vote of confidence, so to speak, on his job performance. You know, when Obama comes out and says, our economy's strong, look at the unemployment rate, look at the stock market. When the pundits that support liberal ideas, whether it's your Van Joneses or your Lawrence O'Donnells or your Adonna Brazils. The stock market is always in the conversation when they're talking about Obama's job, when they're talking about what he's done for this country and how he should get an A+ for his job performance. The stock market always comes in to the equation. Always. Well, the stock market is Wall Street. Wall Street is Apple. Wall Street is Google. Wall Street is NBC. Wall Street is Disney. When Bernie Sanders says corporations are corrupt, these are all corporations. I mean, guys, Bernie Sanders is basically talking about a government takeover. Corporations are corrupt. Wall Street's corrupt. Give me an example, Mr. Sanders. Well, look at Goldman Sachs. They just had to pay a fine. And not one person involved with that company will do jail time. That's wrong. Okay, you're talking about corporations. You're talking about Wall Street. Is Goldman Sachs the only example? Because Disney, GE, Time Warner, Charter, I mean, the list goes on. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on. Are they all corrupt? Are they all bad? You talk about Wall Street. Well, Wall Street is not Gordon Gekko. I've said this before. Bernie Sanders wants you to believe when he says, Wall Street's corrupt. Wall Street's bad. He wants you to envision Gordon Gekko. He wants you to envision a guy that goes, greed is good. But the reality is, Gordon Geckos make up 1 or 2% of Wall Street. Everyday ma and pa. Everyday people are Wall Street. When a company, Black & Decker, they go public, Black & Decker makes power tools, and they sell stock. Ma and Pa go and buy that stock. That's Wall Street. That's not Gordon Gekko. You know, the speculation trading and, you know, shorting and selling long, and you know, this concept is a very small piece of the Wall Street puzzle. It's a very small piece of the Wall Street puzzle. You know, when people have mutual funds and retirement funds and 401k, whatever the hell you want to call all of these plans, they all involve stocks. That's Wall Street. So what is President Sanders going to do? Go to New York City and say, you're shut down. Is he going to get Apple in the Oval Office and go, "It's over. It's over. Done." All these, you know, these debates. The last debate, not the one last night, but the one before that. YouTube. YouTube was part of it. What is YouTube? What is YouTube, Bernie? It's a corporation. A monster corporation. The evolution of Bernie Sanders has evolved with social media. How you reach all these millennials, they're corporations. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, they're all corporations. Those are all corporations. What? They're all honest? So those are the honest corporations? Like, who are the bad corporations? Who are these bad, evil, horrible corporate giants? We just keep hearing Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs. Okay, take Goldman Sachs out of the picture. Who are these evil corporations? I mean, this is the central talking point of Bernie Sanders' campaign. You know, I hate to sit here and do this because it feels like I'm defending Hillary Clinton. It does. It feels like I'm defending Hillary Clinton. But this whole attack on the central foundation of our country is ludicrous to me. It really is. It's ludicrous to me. And the fact that people go along with this and shake their heads, but yet talking about building walls for our security, deporting people here that are illegal, keeping an eye on Muslims who travel in and out of this country to sketchy, okay? Like the San Bernardino murderer. Oh, I'm going to fly to Saudi Arabia and Pakistan to get a wife. Sketchy, red flag. Hey, we should go on social media and really look at these people and see who they're commuting with. Oh, you can't do that. I mean, these are all real ideas. These are all real concepts that protect Americans. Getting rid of sanctuary cities. That's a real concept. These are all legitimate and real concepts. Going after banks, going after Wall Street, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Transcripts of Hillary Clinton's speeches? What the? Again, it's just ludicrous. So that was spent for, I don't know, an hour. And who's more progressive? And then Hillary got all mad. She got all mad at Bernie Sanders. And the Bernie Sanders people started booing. Boo! Because Hillary basically said, listen, you're smearing me. Let's be honest here. You're smearing me. You do the,
with all due respect, I think the secretary is an a-hole. With all due respect, I think the secretary is corrupt. With all due respect.
And that's what she said. She said, listen, if you want to attack my integrity, you want to question the things that I've done for and with banks, then say it to my face. Say it. I'm right here. But stop this sideways smearing campaign without saying Hillary Clinton is in the tank for these people. She's taking money from here. She's taking money from there. Just say it to me. Say it to me now. Bernie Sanders people were booing. Boo. But I'll admit, again, I hate to sound like I'm defending Hillary, but, you know, she put him on blast. She basically said, have the K-ons. Say it to me now. Say it to me now.
Don't say, I don't take money from big banks. I don't get money from Goldman Sachs. I don't.
Say, Hillary Clinton takes money from big banks. Just say it. The big moment. That was the big, here you go, I'm going to put you on blast, just say it. And of course, Bernie Sanders, you know, it's funny, Bernie Sanders, it's like he's always itching to interrupt. He is. He's all, as Hillary Clinton's talking, you know, as she's sitting there saying, if you got something to say, say it directly. Say it. I never changed my views because somebody gave me money. And you just, it's like Bernie Sanders' lip just quibbling. It's like he gets ready to interrupt, which he's done in the past a trillion times. A trillion times. And then, of course, Sleepy Eye Chuck Todd asked her about her emails. Like I said, a lot of this stuff was set up as stump speeches, so to speak. So it's like, I'm going to give you a question. So I'm going to give you a question, and I'm not going to press you on the question or do a follow-up to the question. I'm going to let you answer the question in a way that settles the debate, and then we'll move on. Does that make any sense to you? So they can use parts of a canned stump speech to answer the question, because that's really all Bernie Sanders does. It really is. That's all Bernie Sanders does. He has a stump speech. and he uses pieces of that stump speech. But when it comes to actually free flow thought, he looks like a 75-year-old confused man. When it comes to foreign policy, horrible. But let's continue. You have the artful smear. You have the say it to my face. You're creating artful smears. You have that exchange. You have booze. You have Chuck Todd asking Hillary Clinton if she's 100%, not 50%, but 100% confident that the email controversy will not bring her down. And the trust issues that are swirling around with voters, if this will all be about nothing. And this, again, set up a stump speech talking point, and with new information coming out involving Colin Powell and Condi Rice, she was able to then pivot and say, listen, this declassification, retroactive classification is insane. It's lunacy. I've never sent, I've never done anything with classified information. I've never gotten classified information. I've never done anything that was outside the normal practice of what people like myself, Colin Powell, Condi Rice, nothing. They all received, sent emails that later were classified as top secret or for certain eyes only. And none of this is going to bring me down. So that came out. She was able to use the Colin Powell, Condi Rice information that dropped the other day, which one would have to imagine Hillary Clinton still has a few friends in state. And one would have to imagine that a few of her friends in state dug up some old emails. Somebody somewhere was able to pop out the Condi Colin emails that were classified years later at some point. So that came up. And that was quick to go. I thought another kind of bizarre moment was when the Flint water crisis came up. And we could actually go on and do a completely different segment on this, but Sanders and Clinton both said, you know, got to fix the water crisis in Flint. You gotta not give them contaminated water. But Sanders pivoted from that and basically said, listen, if it was a white suburban community, what kind of response would there have been? And because Flint, Michigan is a poor community, and it is a huge African American population, things were done very slow to fix the problem. And I kind of laughed at that. And I've actually laughed about that whole concept of, well, if that was a white community or if that was a white kid, you know, like I said, I could do a whole segment on this. But race in this country and where we are is because Democrats play this game. Democrats are the race baiters. I mean, they really are. They're the ones that are constantly, I mean, if you're black and you're sitting there watching this debate, or you're in the audience, and you see the two candidates for the Democrats saying to you, hey, that black town that's getting poisoned with lead water, the only reason that's happening is because they're black. It wouldn't be happening if they were white. Now, you're sitting in the audience or you're sitting at home listening to two people that could possibly be the president of the United States telling you that people are dying in a city specifically because they're black. And that town or that city or that governor, the people in that area, are doing what they're doing because those people are black. And they know, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, they know that's not true. They know that's not true. That is a pander. That is a pander to a section of people that believe that every white person in America hates black people. And everything bad that happens to somebody of color happens because the white man caused it. And the white man did it because they're black. Or they're brown, or they're yellow. And that's ludicrous. They're pandering. And it's a pander of hate, and it's a pander of fear. It's race baiting, and it's bad, and it's wrong, and it's dangerous. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. And I brought this up on this show days ago. It's on my podcast. You could listen to it. Okay, I think it's dated 3 days ago. This isn't a black thing. It's not a white thing that's going on in Flint. It's incompetency. It's the same incompetency that's going on out here in California. And this is who Bernie Sanders, this is who Bernie Sanders wants to take your money. He wants all of us to give more money to him. If he's the president, he wants all of us to give more money to him because he knows how to use that money and make a better country. And that same country is poisoning people in Michigan and poisoning people out here in Porter Ranch. Ladies and gentlemen, Porter Ranch is as white can be. Okay? Porter Ranch isn't even Hispanic. Okay? I lived in Porter Ranch, and I'm as white can be. If you live in Los Angeles, and you don't want to live near blacks or Mexicans or Asians, you move to the Valley, okay? You move to San Fernando Valley, and you look in the Simi Valley area, you look in the Porter Ranch area, and you look in the Bell Canyon area. Okay? And as we speak, there's poisonous gas. There's methane gas that's spewing into the air in Porter Ranch. And it's been going on for, I think, 4 months now. If you go to Porter Ranch right now, it's almost as if you're watching one of those virus zombie movies where a town gets evacuated or it gets locked down and you can't go in or out. And that's what Porter Ranch is like. Thousands of people have been moved out of the area. And that's as white can be. I broke down, like I said, days ago. The political makeup of California, the political makeup of Los Angeles, all Democrats. Can't get more liberal than our governor, Jerry Brown. It's a guy who's dating Linda Ronstadt. I mean, you can't get more liberal than Jerry Brown. You can't get more liberal than Garcetti. Can't get more liberal than Pelosi. You can't get more liberal than Boxer Feinstein. The list goes on. We were one of the first states to have a form of legalized marijuana. We're Hollywood. You can't get more liberal. And yet this state, this city, has no problem with poisoning thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of white people. So, again, next week we'll do a segment on how the Democrats like to race bait and pander And again, no different than what they condemn Republicans for when they say Republicans play on fear. Republicans play on fear to the uneducated, poor white person, white man, as they would say, who's afraid of losing their country and losing their place in life to immigrants or somebody who has more of an education, or and they play on their fears. That's what they're doing. And here they are playing on this fear and this anger that black people have, because they're constantly told anything that's wrong in your life, blame the white man. And they constantly get that reinforced by people like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, who go, hey, see what happened in Flint? That wouldn't happen if those people were white. But BS going on as we speak. As we speak, it's going on in Los Angeles, California. As we speak. And like I said before, everything that's going on in Flint could not have happened unless you actually had people inside the federal government working with local officials, setting things up. Has nothing to do with black. It has to do with the fact that the government is a disaster, state, local, and federal level. What's going on in Flint is what's going on in Los Angeles. Listen, when an oil tanker, okay, we've had it happen out here in Los Angeles a plethora of times. It's happened in Alaska when an oil tanker dumps millions and millions and millions of oil. Okay, Louisiana. The list goes on. That oil ruins the land, ruins the wildlife, ruins people's jobs, ruins their fishing, ruins just. Is that a white thing? You don't hear somebody say that. People are incompetent. Sometimes that's just the way of life. And then, of course, they went to the death penalty. I didn't even know that was still an issue. I mean, that just really shows how much they're trying to pander the death penalty. So are you for the death penalty or are you against the death penalty? Secretary Clinton, do you support the death penalty? Well, I think it should be allowed in extreme circumstances, but it has to meet the highest standard of evidentiary proof. In a case like the Oklahoma City bombing, I completely support that. And then, of course, Bernie Sanders said, death penalty has been applied to innocent people. And despite the individuals who commit horrible acts I'm against the death penalty. He said, I don't believe the government itself should be part of the killing. So I think when somebody does one of these heinous acts, they should be thrown in jail and the key should be thrown away. It's kind of funny when he says the government should not be involved in killing. It's always kind of that weird line that both sides kind of walk. It is. It's kind of like that fine line that both sides kind of walk. Republicans believe all life should be protected, but yet the majority of them are in favor of the death penalty. And then you have Democrats like Bernie Sanders who believe that the government should not be in the business of killing people, and yet they support millions and millions and millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood and other organizations that perform abortions, and they themselves are in support of abortion. It's kind of a weird thing on both sides. I admit that. You know, I'm a Republican, and I admit it's kind of a weird stance. I believe that people should just go to prison for the rest of their life, and it has nothing to do with a moral thing. It has nothing to do with a right to life thing. I just feel that the ultimate punishment is being placed in a 6x6 cell, having no communication with the outside world, and having to go through that for 40, 50, 60 years is far more of a punishment than dying. Seriously. Seriously. Sitting in a prison cell in a 23 out of 24 hour a day lockup and be let out of that cell for an hour a day to go to a bigger cell where you're allowed to walk in circles to get exercise. No television. A visitor once a month, a conversation on a telephone once a week, and one or two books a week. Yeah. I would rather be dead. So my stance is strictly from a punishment aspect. Strictly from a punishment aspect. But it is kind of funny. Bernie Sanders doesn't want the government to be part of killing, but abortion is completely fine. Oh, man. And then, of course, they went into foreign policy, which basically amounted to Bernie Sanders reiterating for the 9 trillionth time that Hillary Clinton voted to authorize the 2003 war in Iraq. That was the 9 trillionth time we've heard you voted for the war in Iraq. You voted for the war in Iraq. You voted for the war in Iraq. And it's funny because the conversation was really intended to how do we defeat ISIS? How do we defeat ISIS? And Bernie Sanders didn't have an answer. He didn't have an answer. His answer was basically, and I got to give Hillary credit on this, his answer basically was, well, we have ISIS because Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq war, which when we went to war and toppled Saddam Hussein, it created a vacuum, which in turn created ISIS, and that's why we are where we are. And it's funny because Hillary Clinton turned to Bernie and said, listen, a vote in 2002 is not a plan to defeat ISIS. That was a big one. And then it kind of snowballed from there for Bernie because he doesn't have a clue when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, he really doesn't. Sleepy Eyes asked him, what were the bigger threats? What were the bigger threats to us? North Korea, Russia, or China? I think he said that in that order. It was almost like Bernie Sanders didn't hear him, or he didn't understand him. I'm not real sure which one it was. It was kind of like that moment when Ross Perot had the vice president, his vice president in the debates, and they asked him a question, and he went, what? I didn't have my hearing aid on. What? So Bernie Sanders kind of looked befuddled, and then he went, well, ISIS, and ISIS, we have to defeat ISIS. And Chuck Todd goes, no, 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 no. What's the bigger threat of North Korea, Russia? Like, where do you place? And Bernie Sanders goes, I've got to say North Korea. I have to say North Korea. They're so isolated. They're so isolated, and it's really the job of China to rein them in. But they're isolated, and they have dictators, and they have atomic weapons, and it's not good. So, yes, North Korea. And it was kind of that answer where I think even Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow were like, what? North Korea? Well, the National Security Advisor and everybody security says at this moment, you know, Russia seems to be our biggest problem. And Bernie Sanders is just that, like he just pooped his pants. Like he just filled up his Depends. I mean, I hate to sound like I'm defending Hillary Clinton, but like I said yesterday, if I had to choose and I had a gun in my hand and it was at my face, I'm going with Hillary. Because Bernie Sanders knows nothing about foreign policy, and the only thing he knows on the domestic side is free healthcare, free school, take down Wall Street, take down banks. And black people get poisoned with lead water because they're black. So he got just trounced. He did. He got trounced. Trounced. He got trounced when it came to foreign policy. And then it ended on a sweet note. That's what I called it, a sweet note, where they asked if they would consider each other as a VP. Well, actually, Hillary Clinton was asked, would you consider Bernie Sanders as your VP? You would make the ticket united. And she said, oh, well, you know, that's a little presumptuous to say that's going to happen. And I don't want to say that, but I will say that the first person I will call, if I do get the nominee, will be Bernie Sanders and blah, blah, blah. And that's how it ended. And that was the Dem debate. That was the Dem debate in a nutshell. I know, we just spent, oh God, 90 minutes on this thing. But I felt it was important. I felt it was important. For whatever it's worth. I know, we're not Dems here. And I know there's aspects that I had to defend Hillary. Sorry about that if it hurt some of your ears, but it is what it is. Like I said, I would rather have Hillary than Bernie Sanders any day. Hillary Clinton would basically just give us more of the same, except it would be an old white woman. Bernie Sanders literally would destroy this country. If Bernie Sanders was the president, our economy would collapse. We probably would be attacked. We probably would be attacked by Russia and China. Seriously, Russia and China would attack us. We would be split. One side of our country would be China, and the other side of our country would be Russia. It'd be like that Netflix show, the Man in the Iron Castle. Would be. One side would be the United States of China, and the other side would be the United States of Russia. Bernie Sanders would destroy this country. And I'm not saying it metaphorically, our country would be destroyed. Hillary Clinton, it would just be more of the same. Matter of fact, it probably would be less extreme, less activist than Obama's the worst as far as an agenda to transform the country. Believe it or not, again, I hate to sound like I'm defending Hillary Clinton because I know how it sounds, but listen, she was a senator for a while. She was Secretary of State for a while. She was in the White House for a while. And remember, when Bill Clinton was the president, He did work with Republicans. He did work with Republicans. When Democrats say the 90s and the Bill Clinton era, look at the jobs we created, look at the economy, look at the great things that happened. And Republicans will say, yeah, because Republicans controlled Congress. You had Newt Gingrich in a contract with America. So Republicans themselves admit they worked with Bill Clinton. They passed legislation. So, you know, Hillary Clinton can actually work with Republicans. And Bernie Sanders will destroy this country. Literally destroy it. So there's my observation about the Democratic debate that Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow lost control of. Like I said, there was no conversation about illegal immigration. There was no conversation about terrorism here in the United States. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. There was no conversation on guns. Absolutely none. I mean, literally, when people are crowing, saying how awesome the debate was because Rachel Maddow, Chuck Todd had this game plan to just let them go, and they were able to have these long debates. No, it's a cover. Okay, it's a cover for their failure. Spending an hour on who's a progressive and who's not and who got money from a bank and who didn't was horrible. To not have a conversation about guns. To not have it conversation about illegal immigration. To not have a conversation about terrorism here. Those are three things that affect this country. Not Hillary Clinton taking money for Goldman Sachs. Okay? All right. That's a big F for Chuck Todd and Rachel Maddow.